ti nani tini de khirapti tambo tini da dami bakhtela.
First, Zangarambuji mentioned first the shirap, the wisdom. Shirap basically means shirap. She means knowledge or, you know, intelligence or knowledge. Rap means the best. Basically, shirap means best knowledge. Best knowledge. Best intelligence. Best knowledge. Which we say is wisdom. Wisdom, we use the word wisdom because it's easy to, you know, say the wisdom people have read. But actually, more, also the word yeshe, which is primordial wisdom, is more word wisdom, you know. But anyway, so the shirap is more like the best knowledge, but we use it wisdom. Wisdom can be fine also. We can say wisdom. Wisdom skillful means everybody says that anyway. Or the best knowledge, or the wisdom. Wisdom skillful means. Now the first, through the shirap, what we have to really, to use of our best intelligence or the wisdom, we come to realize that the ego, or this, like the basis of this self-grasping, or this actually, that does not exist. We bring about the realization that ego actually does not exist. Ego not as a sense of self, by the way, because ego is the sense of self. That's fine. But that grasping at false self, that actually when you really examine it, it does not realize. And that is to say, in the teaching he showed, but first we examine that how the egolessness of self, but egoless of phenomena. You see, when you examine, like in the Lojong teachings, you know, in the 7 points of mind training, in the meditation on the Absolute Bodhicitta, it says, all phenomena are dreamlike first. All phenomena are dreamlike, which is meaning that when you examine all phenomena, they are impermanent, they're empty, does not have inherent existence. So therefore, we come to realize that there's no such thing as like the permanently existing nature of phenomena. And then also you come to realize, the one self is also, does not exist. Egolessness of self, egolessness of phenomena. Both of these you come to realize that actually, when you realize that none of these things have any validity, ultimately, when you really examine, there's no validity. Really, when you examine, there's no validity. The basis upon which we just put our grasping onto this does not actually exist. We come to slowly discover that through analysis. Like, for example, in the Vipassana practice, is there very much the analyzing of the how, like, for example, in the meditation, like how all the aggregates, all these things do not exist. Like in the heart, it says, form is emptiness, emptiness, form, form does not develop, emptiness, emptiness, does not. All that when you go through, slowly come to realize that, you see, all these things do not have an inherently existing self. Therefore, you know, there is no basis. Therefore, they are not true. As you think it was before Demba, it's not really, they truly exist, you know. So therefore, when you realize that, that's one thing, first through the investigation. I'm adding a little bit more. Through investigation, through analysis. In the Lakhmani Vipassana, there are two. First, through analysis of the how all things do not exist, through when you really break them down. And then you come a certain realization that they do not exist. And then upon that realization, then really you meditate on, you know, there are two ways, like the analytical meditation, and there is also the rest meditation. Rest meditation is a bit like, you know, for example, when you do shamatha practice. After really meditation, using shamatha with form or shamatha without support, you know, after a while there comes a time when your thoughts and all your emotions have settled in the state of calm abiding. That is the purpose of shamatha. Then one come to realize after a while, you can see things, you know, but then there's no longer so much grasping enter into perception. There's like almost the grasping is dissolved. You can see things, but there's less grasping enter into. There's less grasping. You understand? That's the grasping. That really explains vipassana. Explains vipassana is the realization of the egolessness, that you begin to realize there's no grasping enter into. Like, you know, in the perception, there's less grasping enter into perception. You understand? You understand? Less grasping. I call it the non-stick mind, like the non-stick pan. You can fry okra, it doesn't stick, like a non-stick pan. Like, it becomes like less grasping. You know, less grasping enter into perception is a sign that you're beginning to have a glimpse of the wisdom of egolessness. That you can personally when you experience that way. But then you can also realize through analysis that how when you really examine, that's why Buddhism is very, very clear, has a very highly developed cognitive component in which you examine and analyze very deeply how really how ego does not exist, how phenomena do not exist. And that, you know, the main point being, as we always in the teaching on shunyata, remember? That very famous teaching I always used to share, what is the really meaning of shunyata or tongbanyi is that takchetantrava is free of permanence and non-existing. Free of permanence, non-existing. That means that it's neither permanent nor it's non-existing, because that's how the nature of all things are or phenomena is. You understand? A very simple thing is that we always believe that things are permanent, singular, and independent. But this is Buddhist philosophy from the beginning. When you examine, we always think tapa chipu rangche, that when you really examine, things are permanent. Things are not permanent. Things not singular but multiple. Like for example, this glass. This glass. It looks very real, doesn't it? It exists. It does. And because something exists, we think it's permanent. So we attach permanent to existence. That's the problem. The moment something exists, we think it's permanent. It's called the hidden form of mind. We don't even realize it, but it's almost like subconsciously there. Because of delusion, we always think this is permanent, singular, and independent. We are permanent, singular, independent. But then you see, what if I throw this glass? Which I might do. If I throw this glass on a hard surface, in a matter of seconds, it's broken. There's no glass. Only pieces of glass. And if you break them into further, they dissolve into atoms. Atom also, as modern physics say, do not exist. So, it's not permanent. It's a takchit natava. Tak is permanent, it's not permanent. But then you say, okay, if it's takchit natava, is a beautiful Tibetan expression. It's takchit natava, is free of permanence and non-existent. Which is also another way of showing impermanence. Takchit natava. Tak is permanent, when you realize it's neither permanent but also non-existing. It's not non-existing. Because then you say, okay, if it's like empty, if you say, is this cup nothing? No, it's here. Yeah. It's not permanent, but also it is not nothing. We proved that before, that is not permanent. When you prove that it's not permanent, then it's not singular, then it's also not independent. But then it is also not nothing. So if it's not nothing, then how does it appear? Because of many causes and conditions.
When they come together, they appear. When these cause and condition dissolve, they disappear. Like us, as long as all the different functions of the body remain, then we are alive. Once these exhaust, then we die. Is that clear? So, because of many causes and conditions, they appear. Even though they are not permanent, but yet it is not nothing. But that's a very important point. There are two lessons from this. Practical lessons. Most importantly, we have to learn on emotional level. Deep emotional level. When you realize deeply that it's not permanent, just as this, everything in this world is not permanent, then you see, you realize, because you see, reason why we suffer, one of the main cause of suffering is grasping. Grasping. You understand? Grasping. But then when you realize all that you grasp of are actually empty, impermanent, then you realize on a deeper level it is futile to grasp. When you realize impermanent, the real message is that it's futile to grasp. So you let go of grasping and you realize the wisdom of non-attachment. But when you say non-attachment, doesn't mean indifference. When you have no attachment, in fact, there is even more pure love. Often we think love is attachment. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, it is the attachment in your love that creates always problems. The attachment. So I know you, in your relationship, you have to always let go, isn't it? For the couple to really survive, you have to let go, and love fearlessly, and trust, give space, respect. And when you let go, let go. Love is letting go. You understand? So, in fact, greater love comes. In fact, as Miller said, realizing emptiness or realizing impermanence has compassion. But then you see, the other point that it is not nothing. Because if it was empty, then you might say, well, then you have the nearest to go, nothing, you know, exists. You know, you eat, marry, for tomorrow we die. It's not that. Because of cause and condition. And therefore, there is karma. Therefore, whatever we do or say have consequences. In fact, interesting, the near-death research, they say, people die. They say, not even a single thought is lost. So whatever we do say, so therefore you become ethical, you become universally and personally responsible. And you understand? Is that clear? And so therefore by examining that, when you really examine that, when you really examine and really realize that on a deep level, it has really impact. That's what Dalai Lama, once he read a statement which says, I is merely designation. When he read that, he really began to, it's a very profound realization of how, even though things appear, but they have no substance. Therefore, there's no attachment entering into. There's no attachment entering into, you know, into this. In the same manner, if you can realize that way, then there's no attachment entering into yourself also. Then the root of grasping is kind of freed. So the thing is, when you realize that the things are neither permanent nor non-existing, they do appear because of many interdependent. That's why there is cause and effect, there's karma, therefore we have to be responsible, we have to respect the cause and effect. That's why we have to be ethical. But at the same time, so
inherently speaking, there's no such cup as that exists permanently. And so therefore, we should be free of grasping. One teaches first that things are impermanent, they're empty, shows that we should not grasp, because this, what we grasp upon is does not exist. I think this examining of the non-existent self through analysis is very good, because when you realize that really deeply, then you realize there's nothing as such. It's like it's ridiculous. There's nothing called self that we can actually grasp onto. You know, that's through wisdom. But at the same time, on a relative level, things appear because of many interdependence, you know. So that's what you have the respect for the relative. On an absolute level, it's empty, but on a relative level, it appears because of many cause and conditions. So you respect the, you know. So these are the two very, very important things. These teaching I've given before, you should really, because Zangaramba just essentializes this, but that's really, it implies you need to know that. You need to bring that understanding into when you examine that how self, there's no ego of self or phenomena, it's through analysis you come to realize it. Then, of course, through meditation, you come to realize that also when your mind becomes more free of grasping. Anyway, so that's through realization of the Dhammet of Hirap, the wisdom that realizes egolessness. And it's a really beautiful thing if you realize how form is emptiness, meaning, you know, how even though things appear, when you examine that it's empty, that means it's futile to grasp. And then yet at the same time, that emptiness appears in the form of form because of many interdependencies. So form does not differ from emptiness, emptiness does not differ from form. That's what in the beginning Hasudra Buddha said, the Blessed One was dwelling in the samadhi, that meditation called profound appearance. Profound appearance means, profound is realization of emptiness. Appearance is how emptiness and appearance exist. They are one taste. You know how things are actually, they appear but empty. Things appear, but there's a kind of a humor understanding, you know. So if you can look at yourself also, whatever rises, whatever phenomena, thoughts, if you can realize the emptiness of self, emptiness nature of thoughts, really when you come to realize that, then, you know, one come to realize the free of the grasping anyway. So that's really, that's from the point of wisdom. Mm-hmm.